Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. A little bit later in the show, Kevin's going to tell you about the vehicle he's driving this week. This is a big day today, and we're going to cover it from all sorts of angles. It is National Letter of Intent Day for college football. So what do we have on the show for you today? Next half hour, Josh Gattis, wide receiver coach and the offensive recruiting coordinator for Penn State. He will join us. And just after 4:06, Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated will join us to get his take on how it played out for Penn State. And in our final half hour, James Franklin's press conference today, talking about specifics about the players they brought in. So we have a lot to do over the final 90 minutes of the show. That'll be recruiting and recruiting only. Based on what Penn State did today, it is the highest-ranked recruiting class for Penn State since 2006. But it's more than just that. I know we got Todd Zielecki in a moment. We've got to make some points about this first before we get to that. Okay, it's more than just that. It is not just being in the moment. You can't just be in the moment with these things. What you have to do is you have to look at what needs did they have. They had needs at kicker. They got two of them. They had needs at offensive line, improving the depth. They did that. Needed another tight end. Did that. Needed another quarterback. Did that. Not so many needs at wide receiver, but they picked up one there. Because remember, they redshirted two of them this year, and everybody else is young. Two sophomores and two juniors coming up this year. Actually, three juniors. Defense, they needed some tackles. They needed an end. They picked that up there. Linebackers, some secondary players as well. What they did with this class, in combination with the other two classes they brought in, is now they have a better positional balance on this football team, and not only that, they are better athletically today than they were 3 years ago. Those are two important points moving forward. We'll get to that in a moment with Josh Gattis, wide receiver coach, offensive recruiting coordinator, just after 3:35. Then we'll have Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, just after 4:06, and James Franklin's press conference in the final half hour. Before we get to that, we're very proud to be your new home for the Philadelphia Phillies on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're very pleased to bring in Todd Zielecki. Todd, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, how are you?
Doing very, very well. Appreciate the time very much. All right, pitchers and catchers are about to report. The Phillies, of course, have had an interesting offseason, including making a move in the middle of last season where they decided to change upper management to make this happen. What impact have you seen with the initial imprint of what they want to do?
Well, I think the biggest thing is I've seen them develop a plan and really stick to that plan. They haven't been kind of tempted by any of these big-time remaining free agents that have been on the market. In other words, they're in a rebuilding process right now, and in their mind, it doesn't make sense to go hog wild and jump in and sign a bunch of guys to $100 million deals when you don't really necessarily know yet how good some of these top prospects can be. In their mind, they want to let these top prospects develop a little bit more, get a better sense of where they are, and then fill holes where they think they might need to fill holes a year or two down the road. So, and I like that part of it. I like the fact that at least they have a plan and they're sticking to it.
Part of that plan was to take some veterans and deal them to contenders in the end, trying to get prospects to fill the void. When you look at the prospects and that they were able to acquire in those deals, what kind of, and it's a fancy word, which means you've never done it before, but what kind of potential do you see in some of the prospects?
Well, MLB.com, where I work, we do a top 100 prospects ranking across the Major League Baseball, and right now the Phillies have seven players in that top 100, which is more than any other team in Major League Baseball. So they have a lot of talented guys. Now, are there any superstars in that group? Is there the next Mike Trout? Probably not. But if you can just have a bunch of really good quality players, that'll go a long way. The best prospect right now is J.P. Crawford, shortstop. He's in the top 10 nationally. He's a guy that, you know, honestly, if he hits like he's hitting the minor leagues and he comes up in the big leagues and does that, you're talking about a all-star caliber shortstop, and that's something they desperately need. They got a bunch of arms. They've really been trying to stockpile starting pitchers. And while they might not necessarily have an ace in that group, you know, the next Roy Halladay or the next Cliff Lee, if Mark Appel, Jake Thompson, Zach Eflin, Aaron Nola, Jared Eichhoff, a lot of these guys in their system, Nolan Eichhoff who pitched last season, if all these guys are solid number two, number three, number four starters, that'll go a long way. You know, the Phillies had some of the worst starting pitching last season in all of Major League Baseball. And if they had just some mildly competent starting pitching, not to say they would have made the playoffs last year, but they wouldn't have had the worst record in baseball. So if they can have some of these guys continue to develop, especially in the rotation, I think it'll make all the difference in the world.
A year ago at this time, Todd, where was the Philly organization in the minors depth-wise? And after these deals, what did that do to increase that depth?
Well, I talked to quite a few people about this. And last year at this point, maybe if you go back even a little bit further, if you go back to before they traded Jimmy Rollins and Marlon Byrd, but specifically the Jimmy Rollins trade, they were probably farm system overall, probably bottom 10 in all of Major League Baseball. And now one of our minor league experts, Jim Callis, puts the Phillies in the top 7. I think it's either 6th or 7th overall in terms of, you know, depth in all of minor league baseball. And so that is a dramatic, dramatic turnaround. And it's not just from the trades that they've made. It's also from some better drafts. You know, the Phillies had a stretch from about maybe 2004 through 2012 where they literally had they had the worst draft, overall drafts in all of Major League Baseball in terms of drafting impact players. They drafted a lot of guys that made the big leagues, but, you know, guy that might make 10, 15 appearances and never be heard from again. So that's been a big difference, too, is more competent drafting.
The Phillies, when ESPN did a rating 1 through 122 on the use of analytics, the Sixers were number one, so it's not a given that it's perfect. And number two, the Phillies organization a year ago were rated 122. They've hired somebody along that line. Is there a more progressive feel within the organization now that you can balance scouting with analytics?
Absolutely. They hired a guy by the name of Andy Galdi from Google. He was a quantitative analyst for YouTube. Don't ask me what that means. He did. I don't entirely understand it. There are probably some people at the Phillies that don't entirely understand what his job responsibilities were at Google, but the fact of the matter is that this guy is very, very smart. He knows numbers. He knows how to crunch numbers. He knows how to gather data and figure out what it means, if it means anything at all, and that is a step forward. You know, they've certainly added to the analytics department. Ned Rice is a new assistant GM. He's going to oversee the analytics department. They hired a guy by the name of Lewis Tolis, who is an intern, analytics intern for them. They hired him full time. So now they actually at least have a staff. They have a purely analytics staff, and they have a new computer system called Phil, which is designed to also use some of this information and maybe figure out a few things that they might not have had at their disposal down the road. But Matt Klentak, the new Phillies GM, has made it very clear that, you know, we need scouting, but we also need numbers, and, you know, it doesn't hurt to have all the information possible. And I think, quite frankly, looking back at some of the Phillies' decisions in the recent seasons, if they had maybe more information on the numbers side, maybe they would have gone in some different ways, and perhaps, not definitely, but perhaps, they wouldn't be as bad shape as they are now.
In an appearance in Williamsport, Pete McCannon said that, hey, look, if Ryan Howard's not hitting left-handed pitching, I'm not playing him. What does that tell you about Pete McCannon being his own man, but at the same time, what kind of communicator is he within the clubhouse?
I definitely think that tells you that Pete McCannon has the backing of the front office. Not to say that he's a new manager, but, you know, a guy on a one-year contract, he's not going to come in here and start throwing people around and rattling cages, especially with a guy like Ryan Howard. But clearly, I think the new regime is more open to playing less of Ryan Howard and not sitting there going, well, you know, we're paying him. He's a guy from the 2008 World Series team. We got to keep running him out there. So, and to answer your second question, Pete's a very good communicator. He's 10 times as good of a communicator as Ryan Sandberg, who kind of fumbled his relationship with Ryan Howard on several occasions in terms of playing time and those sorts of things. Pete has sat down with Ryan Howard since he replaced Sandberg last season. He said, listen, you got to hit left-handers better. So I don't think what Pete has said is also necessarily news to Ryan Howard. I think if Ryan Howard is being honest and looking in the mirror, he says, wow, I literally was the worst hitter against left-handed pitching last season. You know, if he had enough plate appearances to qualify against left-handed pitching, and Darren Ruff, if he had enough plate appearances to qualify, would have been tied with Nelson Cruz for being the best hitter against left-handed pitching last season. So it's not like he can go into the manager's office and say, listen, you got to play me. I deserve to play. Pete's going to say, look at Darren Ruff's numbers. Look at your numbers. We're trying to win ball games. This is the way it's going to be. So I like it, and I think it maybe it motivates Ryan Howard. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe even if he's motivated, maybe it doesn't turn him around. But at least I think the Phillies are getting away from the sort of those nostalgic feelings about the 2008 team in terms of playing time and keeping these guys around.
He tells me he wants to put the best lineup to win. All right, not sit great there and be sentimental about it. Hey, Todd, yeah, Thanks so much. Appreciate it. As always, great stuff.
Thank you.
And, of course, News Radio 1070 WKOK, your new home for the Philadelphia Phillies. Very proud to be your new home for the Philadelphia Phillies. And we'll start with spring training. Those games are just a month away. We'll come back. National Letter of Intent Day for college football. We'll kick it into gear in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday, National Letter of Intent Day, as we get ready for Penn State and Iowa coming up tonight here at Carver Hawkeye. I'll get to see a team tonight in person that has a lot of people talking as to whether the one or two line, and we'll see how Penn State competes against them tonight here at Carver Hawkeye at 7 Eastern time. I had a chance to meet the president's brother-in-law today, as a matter of fact, because Craig Robinson, Michelle Obama's brother, is doing the game tonight. Mentioned something about you and your taxes, Kevin. I don't really, you know, didn't quite, you know, get all of it as to the full meaning of it, but didn't sound good for you.
Never does.
All right. Okay. National Letter of Intent Day. This has been an interesting cycle, and obviously what Jim Harbaugh has done has made this an interesting cycle. There has been a little bit too much focus on what Jim Harbaugh does. I don't care what he does. I don't care if he climbs trees. I don't care if he does sleepovers. I don't care about any of that. I really don't at all. That's for him to do. Everyone knows that, you know, and this comes from, obviously, you know, who are you around as you work your way through the business? Obviously, a person I was around as I worked my way through this business was Joe Paterno, and I listened to him, and I learned a lot from him along the way. One of the things he told me many, many years ago, do not worry about who you don't have. Only worry about who you do have. That's what you concentrate on. You concentrate on who you do have. The other thing, too, is when it comes to recruiting, what kind of class balance do you have? Now, class balances do change. A little bit different now with class balance compared to where it was 20 years ago, because you have more players today opting for the NFL draft, many leaving after their third season in a program that are the highly recruited, highly touted players. For example, a year ago, did we think Derrick Henry would be going to the NFL draft? No, we did not. No, I never had a single thought that Derrick Henry would go to the NFL draft a year ago. But then he had a fabulous senior season, ended up winning the Heisman Trophy, and he's going to the NFL draft. Okay. And that's how it plays out. It's a little bit different today because you do have more players opting for the NFL draft now than at any time. So that does change your class balance as to how you're going about things. You also have more seniors that have an extra year of eligibility that are using the graduate transfer. That obviously is the Russell Wilson factor, and you're seeing that with some people taking advantage of that. So again, that changes class balance a bit as well. But the big part I look at in recruiting, to me, over and over again, is positional balance. Do you have a recruiting class that aids your positional balance? At Penn State, they're going to be highly recruited players to begin with. Penn State in this class has 2 5-stars. What, they got 7 4-stars along the way? You know, I'm not a big, you know, not, you know, the star thing is one thing. You know, then we'll start seeing, you know, how it plays out in reality, you know, in terms of the transition they make, because I'm very cognizant of the transition. It's a huge leap to go from college to the pros, but it's also a huge leap to go from high school to college. And Penn State ends up along the way with, you know, the last 2 years, I think 21 4 and 5 stars combined. They haven't had that kind of combination in 10 years here. Josh Gattis is coming up next. We'll talk to the offensive recruiting coordinator and the wide receiver coach. Then it's going to be Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, just after 4:06. Then James Franklin's take on what he saw in the recruiting class at Penn State. So a lot coming up. Coming up, we will have This Day in Sports History. And then Josh Gattis joins us as we continue on National Letter of Intent Day on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's got Shikellamy and Midwest coming up tonight, and a beautiful Sunbury Motors vehicle will take him there.
Yeah, we're featuring the Sorento from Kia this particular week. And if we do happen to get any more snow, the all-wheel drive will get you around smoothly. and it will be very comfortable, too. I can guarantee you that. It's a four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive vehicle that doesn't have a whole lot of bouncing when you're driving down. You don't feel every little pothole or every little, you know, little crack in the road like you do in some vehicles. This one has a very comfortable, smooth ride, plenty of space for everybody, and a five-year, 60,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty. And right now, 0% interest for 66 months. Also have special financing for 72 months as well. Find out more. Visit SunburyMotors.com or visit Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Indeed. All right. This day in sports history, then Josh Gattis. 1876, Albert Spaulding and his brother started a sporting goods store. They manufactured the first official baseball, tennis ball, basketball, golf ball, and football. In fact, you can go by it. It's right there on Route 20, just outside of Springfield. 1912, the U.S. professional football set some new rules. The field was shortened to 100 yards. Touchdowns were worth 6 points instead of five. Four downs would be allowed instead of three, and the kickoff was moved from midfield to the 40-yard line. Dick Button won the U.S. Figure Skating Championship for a sixth time in 1951. The first Winter Olympics in Asia in 1972 opened in Sapporo, Japan. U.S. hockey team won the silver medal. Mark Howe was on that team. And I think Janet Lynn was the figure skater. I think she won the bronze. 1979, the Twins traded Rod Carew to the California Angels for four players. Also on this date in 2001, the XFL debuted. The Las Vegas Outlaws beat the New York, New Jersey Hitmen 19-0, and the Orlando Rage beat the Chicago Enforcers 33-29. In 2002, the Patriots won the Super Bowl over the Rams 20-17. Alan Vinatieri with the game winner at the end. That was the one where the Patriots were accused of taping the Rams walkthrough as they beat the, it says Los Angeles, but it's the St. Louis Rams they beat. And they were accused of taping the Rams walkthrough. Now, what would you get out of the walkthrough that would be useful to you? Oh, I don't know. Like, most teams in their walkthrough run through their script. The first 12 to 15 plays, they script in the game. If I recall, the greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams, didn't score a touchdown in the first half. I think it was 17-3 at halftime. Not saying anything other than 2 plus 2 sometimes can equal 4.
Make your own judgments.
All right. Hey, by the way, Josh saying how great it is to listen to the show on the Sunbury Broadcasting app. Thanks so much. We appreciate that very much. Love having everybody on the app. All right, let's get to recruiting now. We promised a big show on recruiting today. We're going to deliver for you. We've got Ryan Snyder next half hour, Blue White Illustrated and Rivals.com joining us. James Franklin's press conference in the final half hour. We now bring in the offensive recruiting coordinator and wide receiver coach for the Nittany Lions, Josh Gattis. My friend, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so let's start with this. I put that list of names down in front of you, just the list of names right there. How happy are you today?
I'm very happy. You know, we assembled another top 25 signing class. You know, we've addressed a lot of our needs that we had on our roster moving forward. And we got great kids that are joining this program. So we're really excited to welcome these young men into our program. Obviously, they all come from great schools, great backgrounds. But they also have great families, and they're going to fit right into our locker room very well.
Obviously, 3-4 years from now, we'll find out what the true ranking is. But on this day, this is the highest-ranked recruiting class Penn State's had since 2006. What does that tell everyone about the progress you're making out there as you recruit?
The future's bright. You know, we were faced with some challenges when we got the job, and we've addressed those challenges in our roster. And so, you know, there's some quick fixes out there, but, you know, we're building a program and a roster that's going to be able to withstand with time. And so, you know, to be able to recruit at a high level, you got to continue to do that each year, year in and year out. And, you know, we're just assembling great kids that are doing a lot of great things within our program, not just on the football field, but in the classroom as well. So, you know, we're excited. I think you see a bright future ahead for Penn State football and the direction we're headed in this program.
Here's another part. You've had to do a lot of catch up with numbers. So the class balance may not be there yet, but do you feel like you're making progress in terms of positional balance on the football team? Not there yet, but do you feel like you've made positional balance progress?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. We're headed in that direction. I think this year, getting back to full scholarship numbers and being able to, address depth on the team was a major focus point in recruiting. So we are starting to balance out some of our depth. We still have some questions and concerns in certain positions with numbers. But we've got great kids and great players in our program. So, we're continuing to build for the future. But we did have to address our depth across the board, and we feel like we accomplished that in this class.
Here's the next part a lot of people don't talk about. You redshirted, again, a lot of players this year, and there are a couple of key guys that are redshirted at the position you coach. How important is it for everyone, Josh, to remember that those redshirt freshmen combined with the true freshmen really come together for you?
Oh, yeah. So, we redshirted some talented players. And speaking about, there's quick fixes in college football, we easily could have played a ton of those guys last year. But we felt like in the best interest of them as well as in Penn State's future that we redshirted a few of those guys. Those guys were talented enough to go out and play on Saturdays. But to be able to get those guys out there this season and to add to the depth of this team and create more players that are going to be able to contribute to winning on Saturdays, that's huge. And we're building the roster the right way, and sometimes that does take time. So to redshirt those guys and be able to get them this year where they're going to be able to go out there and contribute successfully was very, very important for us. So when you combine the last couple classes that we've had recruiting with the current players and the development of the players that we have on our roster, the future is very, very bright for us.
Josh, in recruiting, what's the importance of being adaptable as you go through this process as a coach?
Very, very important, because you're getting kids from all different areas, all different backgrounds. A lot of schools are selling a lot of the same things, but what makes Penn State unique is you're able to attract kids that want to achieve everything they want as far as academically and athletically. You're talking about a world-class education and a big-time football program that not many schools that can compete with. So just being adaptable and finding the right kids that fit the Penn State brand. And I think that's very important in what we look for. You can go recruit any kid across the country, but it takes a special kind of kid to put this blue jersey on and a kid that takes pride in not just only having success on the field, but off the field as well as in the community. So we focus a lot on the overall picture of the student athlete and the character of that person to be able to invite them to be a part of our program. And we're excited about the young men we sign in this class because they fit every need that we talk about.
When you're talking about looking for people who fit that certain brand, does that also enter into the fact that if they fit that kind of brand, that to you they might be more coachable?
Yes, very much so. We want kids that come from winning backgrounds, kids that are coachable, kids that want to be at Penn State, because there's something to be said about a kid that wants to be here and a kid that grows up loving this institution and loving this program, or a kid that falls in love with it when they come visit here. So coachability is very, very important when you're talking about how will this kid be able to develop not only as a player, as a person, but in the future of this program.
Give me the importance, Josh, of keeping relationships open with the recruits that you have, especially when it gets late in the process and maybe you have to go in one direction or another. How important in the end were those relationships?
Relationships are always the key. Whether or not a kid has a scholarship offer in mid-January or late January or whatsoever, it's all about building relationships. You want to have people in your program that you're going to know who you're getting. You know who you're getting as a player and as a person, because you don't want to take a risk on a kid, whether that's even early or late in the recruiting process. But the recruiting process is long, in which that enables you to be able to develop those relationships over time. There's a lot of things that are going through each one of these kids' heads. As long as the recruiting process goes, there's a number of schools that are trying to come in and recruit each and every kid. But those kids likely rely back on the relationships that they built with the assistant coaches, the coaching staffs, with the universities that allow them to be comfortable with the schools that they choose.
you know that what it was like when you walked in 2 years ago and you looked at the roster, you got them on the practice field for the first time, and where the athleticism of the overall roster was on day one when you took over. When you take the guys that have been redshirted and add them in with the players you just signed today, what has that done for the athleticism of the Penn State football roster?
It has increased it big time. We're a different team today. Watching our team go through winter workouts yesterday, it's a better team than it was last year at this point going through winter workouts. And you see that progress continue to happen to where you want to get to the final product and the product of building a championship caliber program. And we're headed in that direction. And so when you add the kids that we just redshirted onto the roster that we had last year that we were playing with, some pretty good kids and some pretty good young kids already in our program, as well as adding this recruiting class, we're taking big steps. And they're not small steps, but we're taking big steps in the right direction of building the kind of program that Penn State has always had and Penn State will be proud of.
You haven't taken shortcuts. Has the process that James has put forward that you're helping to execute, has that allowed you to buy some time to give some of the younger players time to develop where they can then, when they're ready, be ready for you?
Yes, indeed. You know, we've had to play some young guys. But there's an old age saying of, you know, experience beats talent. But when you give talent experience, it will win overall. And so, we've been able to give some of our young players some experience early on, whereas now that experience that they gain of not just taking a talented player, but they've made them a better player. And so those guys are showing up on Saturdays, making a lot of plays for us. You look at our roster last year, there was a huge number of sophomores and guys, Chris Godwin, Deshaun Hamilton, Andrew Nelson, guys that are playing for us across the board that are making big-time contributions. So those guys are gaining experience early on to where it's going to be able to pay off in the long run. And when you're talking about having success in a program, you're not just talking about 1 year success, but having a stable program where you're going to continue to have success year in and year out. And that's the direction and that's the plan that we put together. And we've been successful in not only executing that plan, but also attracting more and more talent to fulfill that plan.
When you look at the three classes combined that you've been able to bring in, the most recent one obviously signed today, patience is something that has been discussed when it comes to Penn State football because everyone knows where the starting point was. Was today and last year and the year before, are those now important steps where the patience is about to pay off?
Yes, they are. You're going to start seeing a lot of the rewards from these recruiting classes starting to show up on Saturdays. And which, you know, we've had some good seasons, but we know our expectations. We know our expectations are very high, but we're out here getting the right young men, the right coaches, the right people in our program to lead us in that direction. So it will pay off in the long run. And patience has been very, very key for us, and we appreciate everyone that has shown that patience. Our players have been patient in our program. As we talked about, there's no shortcuts. Some kids, if they don't play right away, they get disgruntled. Within our program, our younger guys have stayed patient. They know their opportunity is coming. They know their moment is coming to go out there and wear that blue stripe and contribute for Penn State. So we couldn't be more pleased at where we are in our program. Obviously, we would love to be, you know, a step further, but we truly believe that you're going to start seeing some big-time changes coming for Penn State football, and we're excited about the future. We're excited about the season coming up because you're going to see a lot of the plans start paying off.
And finally, Josh, under the category of it never ends, you signed one today. How do you feel about the progress you've already made with inroads to 17 and 18?
I think we've made tremendous progress. You know, going back to those relationships, we've been able to build relationships all across the country with kids in the 17 class. We can't speak specifically on them, but we feel good about where
right.
we are in recruiting. We've got a great brand to sell in Penn State's history and Penn State's future, but we also have a great brand to sell academically. So we're going to be able to be in position to attract the best and the brightest student-athletes across the country, and that's our goal year in and year out. You won't find a staff that works as hard as we do and that's committed to recruiting the right student-athlete to be a part of their program like ours. So that's our number one goal, is to continue to improve the players that we continue to bring in this program. And so, we're excited about the future of recruiting. Obviously, today is a big step. We'll take tonight off and be able to breathe a little bit, but then it starts right back at it tomorrow. There's really no time off in recruiting. So we'll be more excited tomorrow to start working on the next class.
Enjoy your night, okay? You've earned it. And as somebody who's watched Tompkins and Polk and Blacknall and Godwin and Hamilton and Charles and Johnson all make great strides the last couple of years, you've done a great job. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Josh Gattis, wide receiver coach, offensive recruiting coordinator for Penn State. Next half hour, Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated. Final half hour, you'll hear the words of James Franklin as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin today was doing the dab in front of the rest of the staff. Quite a moment.
The what?
The dab.
I can't do that.
Sure you can.
Nobody wants to see that.
By the way, we welcome Sarah Lauber to the broadcast.
That
she did
correct.
The news at the bottom of the hour. Sarah, welcome. You did a great job. Sounds terrific. Great to have her on the show, and great to have her as a part of the family. Fabulous. Midwest and Shikellamy coming up tonight. High school basketball here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. If you missed anything, you can go to the Steve Jones Show podcast, including Todd Zalecki, who gave us, I thought, a very glowing viewpoint of the Phillies farm system at this stage and how in just a year they have regenerated and restocked and now are ranked as high as seventh in some areas and now have seven of the top 100 prospects in all of minor league baseball. So we, of course, are your new home for the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll start with spring training in about a month.
You know, he Looking talked about that list much. On MLB.com that they put together. And, boy, I'll tell you what, it did surprise me a little bit to see that many names make that list for the Phillies. So that's actually very encouraging if you're a Phillies fan and promising for the future as well.
Well, we'll start with that in about a month. Looking forward to being your new home for the Philadelphia Phillies. And, of course, we're your home for Penn State football as well. We just had Josh Gattis on. If you'd like to hear the offensive recruiting coordinator's thoughts and the wide receiver coach's thoughts on what the Nittany Lions have done in recruiting, you can go to the podcast and find that out. Ryan Snyder of Blue White Illustrated and Rivals.com joining us in the next half hour to get a national take on what has happened with Penn State recruiting. And then we'll hear from James Franklin in the final half hour of today's show. So we have a lot going on National Letter of Intent Day. All the signings have come to a close. There was peace across the land.
There was a hush across the land.
Well, now they can rest and relax a little bit. All the hand-wringing and the worrying, and now I know exactly who's in, who's not. And as I've said many, many times, I do not worry at all about who I don't have. I always worry about who I do have.
Steve That's Jones, worry. Those are two words that don't go. Two things that don't go together.
But you need to take care of what you do have. You don't ever worry about what you don't have. It distracts you. Okay, you can't get distracted in things. So you lock in on what you do have and you make it better. And I think what they've done is they've made it better with positional balance. They made it better with athleticism. Look, they got 2 5-star guys in this thing. 7 4-stars. In the last 3 years, Penn State has had 21 4 or 5 stars come into the program. In the last 3 years, 21 4 or 5 stars. The previous 3 years, they had 11. Look, they're changing things around. The athletic quotient is now going up. And that was one of the key points I talked to with Josh Gattis, and I asked him point blank, where are you athletically today compared to where you were 2 years ago today? And as he said, it's like night and day. That's going to make a big difference. A guy like Miles Sanders, Michael Mehmet, Shane Simmons. I mean, I can now say the names. Imagine the relief I feel. Alex Barbier, the place kicker. Gilligan, the punter. They are high on him. Danny Dalton, Jake Zembiak, Connor McGovern. McGovern's already in. Alex Gellenstadt, already in.